Hello and welcome. You're watching The Buck Stops Here and I'm Barkha Dutt. The big political story tonight, the focus continues to be the controversy that the IPL in Maharashtra finds itself at the center of. After a petition demands that these matches should be shifted out of the state given the acute levels of drought and farmer suicides. The figures are indeed staggering. When you break down what's happening in Marathwada alone, 273 farmers have been pushed and driven to suicide. When you look at the figures last year, it's even more shocking. 9 farmers every single day. At a time of drought, is the IPL mocking those who live on the margins? Well, the Bombay High Court certainly seems to be inclined to thinking that, although it has not delivered a final verdict yet, it has ruled out the use of potable water in any form for the pitches. The alternative formula provided now is treated sewage water. But the larger symbolic debate still remains. Could this water, for example, treated sewage water, be used for any other purpose? Could it help the drought-impacted areas? And there is the larger question of what the IPL represents at a time when the state is gripped by drought. Let's introduce our panel today. Joining us from the BJP is its spokesperson, Sambit Patra. Joining us also on the program, Yugendra Yadav, a leader with the Swaraj Abhiyan, also a petitioner in the Supreme Court in this larger case of farmer suicides and drought. With me in the studio, Sunil Alag, independent strategy consultant, Shekhar Gupta, senior editor and journalist. Sohail Seth, managing partner, Counselage, is also with us. Bimal Soni, former deputy president, Rajasthan Cricket Association. And Ketan Tirotkar, who is the petitioner in this entire case in Maharashtra, who started this entire conversation to begin with. Let me start by asking you, Ketan Tirotkar, do you believe that now that the argument is that only water that is being used for, sewage water, treated sewage water and no potable water, do you think that changes the argument that somebody like you has gone to court for?
I would like to focus on two questions posed by Bombay High Court today to the state government and BCCI. First is whether BCCI would provide an equivalent volume of water to the drought-affected districts in Maharashtra as much as it supplied to the IPL stadiums.
Yes.
And secondly, whether BCCI would contribute to the Chief Minister Drought Relief Fund. Why I'm surprised is that for such basic questions, welfare state like us, why do we require judicial intervention? Why do we require judicial activism? When there was a committee of central government visiting Maharashtra this year, in the month of February and March, they had visited 16 drought-affected districts and they had known the trouble that water scarcity is going to rise. After that, we have had our Chief Minister announcing 2 trains to Latur, just carrying not more than 60 lakh liters of water.
Yes.
And it has taken 15 days for our state to arrange for those 2 trains.
Yes.
When there is so much of difficulty for the state machinery to arrange for 60 lakh liters of water, why after Bombay High Court has swung into action, these things are happening? Are we really a welfare state? Are we not working against our interests
but Ketan Tirotkar, what you're saying is it's taken your petition and the intervention of the Bombay High Court to do what's happening now. You're right. But on the issue of the IPL, do you believe that the fact that they're now talking about sewage water changes your demand that the IPL be shifted out? Are you satisfied with this as an alternative?
If sewage water can be processed and used for IPL stadiums, why it cannot be used for cleaning process and other uses in the drought affected districts? The same water is required as much as you supply as it is less. That is the condition. We are having Swachh Bharat Abhiyan when there is no water more than 20 liters per day per family in drought affected districts today. Can this sewage water be supplied after processing to those districts, to those houses where there are joint families with village, not like urban cities? Every family comprises of 6 persons every family is getting only 20 liters per day as on today.
Let me take this to Sambit Patra. Sambit, activists like Ketan are making the point that the water train that reached Latur today was carrying 5 lakh liters of water, but actually by contrast, 60 lakhs are actually going to be consumed for the matches if they continue to be held in Maharashtra. The court is certainly minded to move them out. It's already asked the Cricket Control Board to consider doing that. The fact of the matter is the BJP is being quite ambivalent on this issue. It's taking no position. But BJP member Anurag Thakur is talking in terms of revenue loss to the state. Where does the party leadership weigh in on this issue?
Barkha, BJP is not equivocal or, as you call, ambivalent on this issue. BJP has taken an absolutely clear stand. The party over there also had said that when we are facing one of the severest drought in Maharashtra in the last 100 years, there is no reason as to why we should be entertaining any kind of entertainment means. And secondly, none other than the Chief Minister, Mr. Fadnavis himself, has stated today through the Attorney General on the floor of the court that he has no issues if the IPL shifts out of the state. So the BJP is absolutely clear, and he has even gone on record to state that even if 1 liter of water is misused by the IPL or the cricket body, then he is going to see to it that they are punished. Now it is upon the Honorable Court as to what verdict they deliver.
So would you want the matters to be moved out?
Absolutely.
Sambit, you say you're not equivocal. So is the unequivocal position that you would prefer the matches being moved out of the state?
See, as far as the whole issue is concerned, it is before the court. And when the court has asked the additional attorney general about the whole issue, the attorney general said that we have no issues if the IPL shifts out. We gave no defense to the BCCI or to the other cricketing bodies who wanted the games to be held there. Rather, we were quite combative in saying that even if a single liter of water is misused, we will see to it that they are punished. So it's as clear as it.
Okay, so but who defines how the water is, is being misused? You have the petitioner saying, if it's so easy to treat it for the pitch, can it not be treated and processed for other uses in drought areas as well? Yugendra Yadav is somebody who's also gone to the Supreme Court on this larger issue. Do you believe that the IPL is an obvious but soft target, because there's a kind of display of money and glamour and the rank, the rank contrast with poverty is very obvious? Or do you believe that it's a lazy, it's a legitimate target, but still not the solution? And the problem is actually water guzzling crops like sugarcane. You know the data as well as I do, but it costs over 2,000 liters of water to actually, each kilogram of sugar requires 2,068 liters of water. So this is just, I think what I'm putting out there is, as offensive or as insensitive as the IPL may seem, is the IPL the problem or water guzzling crops the problem?
Barkha, if you are so much the center of national attention as cricket and IPL is, then you pay the price of being in that center of attention. I should clearly say I support this petition. For the very simple reason that it draws attention to the drought. And honestly, working on this drought for the last 6 months, as you know, anything that draws this country's attention to drought, whether it is this petition, whether it is Barkha Dutt's program, whether it's IPL staying in Mumbai, if that draws more attention when everyone takes a pledge, I'm for it. If it's moving out helps, I am for it. I think the reason simply is that, unfortunately, the petition uses a literal connection and a cause-effect connection. I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure that holding these matches would aggravate Maharashtra's water crisis any serious way. I'm not sure that moving IPL out would significantly
Yet
resolve
it. Yet you support
it.
The petition. Why do you support the petition then? Why do you support Ketan?
I said for the simple reason, number...
Go ahead, Yogendra.
Number one, that it... this petition actually does something deeply symbolic. There is something vulgar about holding such things at the time when the country is going through drought. This is like Mulayam Singh Yadav hosting those festivities in Safai next to Bundelkhand, which was suffering so much at that point. And on the positive note, if there was an IPL vrata, a cricket vrata in this country for some time, and if that reminds all of us about why we are holding this vrat, and the nation's attention is to drought and to the question of water, that I think would help this country enormously. So I don't agree with their reasoning, but I still think that this controversy has done something positive for the country.
I think you might have captured a sentiment that many of us believe, that the literal cause and effect it cannot actually be scientifically established, but there is a certain vulgarity, Sunil and Shekhar, to borrow from Yogendra's word, to see the IPL, which is sort of, film glamour meets big money, meets some great cricket, with those cheerleaders, which one of the petitioners today actually said that there should be a ban on that or a temporary halt to that as well. When you contrast it with the images of farmer suicide, the vulgarity seems to be this parallel universe, the Republic of IPL. You will remember once famously when Chidambaram was still home minister and he wanted to, you know, the IPL had to be moved out because the argument was that our security has to be used first for conducting elections and not for the IPL. Shekhar, you will remember this.
Yeah.
So there's this sense of this being a parallel universe and a certain vulgarity to that.
No, I agree with Yogendra as well as the person who's filed it to say that, look, we cannot make BCCI and IPL the issue. Look, the drought has been there for the last 1 year. This Latur has been there for the last 2 or 3 months.
So okay, 50 or 60 days, almost 2 months, is not water. Yeah.
Why is it that suddenly, at least in the case of Chidambaram, it was 2 or 3 months before that he said, I can't have it and time to move out. This thing of blackmailing everybody 1 day before the match is supposed to start.
Doesn't Yogendra have a point that had this cricket not been at the center of it,
let me now explain.
This drought has got no national
media
attention.
Let me just finish. At one point that not Yogendra Yadav but the gentleman raised, why is it that the executive has the authority, which is the Maharashtra government? Why are you blaming BCCI and IPL? You know, the executive gives up its role and tells the judiciary, you take the call. I'm totally with him. The Maharashtra government should have taken a call
like Chidambaram
a long time ago said, don't have it in Maharashtra.
Good
but
point.
But another point I'll quickly make, this way Brazil should not hold the Olympics because they're a poor country. They are building stadiums and they have a benefit to do.
Shekhar, you're with Sunil on this. You've called it dumb tokenism on Twitter. Why isn't there, okay, let me put it to you another way. Is there not some value for tokenism and symbolism in democracy? Symbols do stand for something.
I think, in fact, I would say something stronger than dumb tokenism. This is a straightforward headline hunting.
That's right.
Drought is a very serious issue. Endemic water shortage in Marathwada is a very serious issue. It's not a one season issue. And as you said, sugarcane can be a reason. But basically, geography is the reason. There are rain shadow areas in India which have to, where new scientific ways of conserving water and using water have to be brought in. But to link that to IPL, I'm sorry, is an insult to the poor who are suffering from this drought.
You're saying to link it to IPL is the insult to the poor, not the holding of the IPL.
Yes. Tell me something. Have Bollywood movies started getting released? Sand will release this Friday. Everybody will celebrate. Sand will release in Marathwada also. In Latur also, have people stopped watching movies? This is entertainment for which people pay. State doesn't spend a paisa on it. In fact, state gets...
But we all went after Mulayam Singh Yadav and the SEFI. I think someone's trying to come in.
He used state money. Right? He used state money and people were not paying to attend. In this case, people are paying to attend. Taxes are being paid. This is like...
Okay, quick interjection from Yogendra.
A drought is a very sad thing, but this is not when a head of state dies and you have national mourning for 13 days or 11 days and nothing happens. Either you shut down all cinema halls, all dance bars,
you're saying it's selective. Summit, quick response then, Sumit.
Yes. In fact, I want to respond to what my previous speaker was saying, that, why did the state, in fact, give a permission in the first go itself?
Yeah.
I mean, we should know as to what the additional attorney general said in the court when asked the same question. The state does not give permission in this case because, as far as water is concerned, it is a property of the corporation and the corporation takes a call on it. And as far as entertainment tax is concerned, it has nothing to do with water and the collector takes a call on it. So, the entertainment tax and water has to be divorced and seen in different ways. So the state has nothing to do in giving permission to the matches.
No, but the state, I will have to take a position in court, and the state is a player in
this. The state has already taken a position by submitting an affidavit where it says that it has no problem if the court orders the IPL to shift out of
the state. When celebrations happened, the state of Maharashtra did have a view on how much water should be used.
But even that
was
ridiculous.
In Punjab now you have a circular whether people should be washing their cars and how much water they should be using twice a day.
Washing the cars is different thing.
Yes, but advisories can always be given by states, and that's why in an affidavit the court has got an answer from the state.
Let me give you the answer.
And also because you said you talked about 2009 IPL being shifted to South Africa. For the record, I entirely disagreed with the idea that Government of India forced IPL to go out. This is a large country. Why can't cricket matches go on while elections are going on? And I think I disagreed with Mr. Chidambaram on
but
that.
But he took the position that the first priority had to be the elections.
Well, a country of India's size.
Don't do it 24 hours before the IPL comes.
I got your point, Shekhar. Let me just get the other.
I think this was more internal politics of the.
Okay, let's not get distracted. Let's not get distracted by that.
And all that IPL has to do is take the money and give it to the crowd fund and let them use it. But everybody will welcome the IPL.
Okay, Sohail, Shekhar goes as far as saying that the petitioners in this case who want the IPL moved out are headline hunters. This could be argued the other way, that they are to be credited with finally getting the drought in the headlines. So if they were looking for headlines, not for themselves, but for drought, they've actually done us all a service.
Thank you, Mr. Dutt. Thank you.
With due respect to Shekhar and to you and to members of the media, headlines is what attracts people to read the body copy. I mean, that's the tragedy of the times we live in. I completely agree that for many it's tokenism. For many it's fanciful in this country to eat the rich, target the elite, or what you term as elite, to target something that is a soft target, because the real issues are contentious and people are willing to escape from them. Mm. Yogendra is absolutely right. Will the larger problem of water conservation and water be resolved through this? No. But we live from headline to headline, from moment to moment, where we can escape responsibilities. The executive always escapes responsibility.
But yet you
by
have taken the position,
the judiciary.
You have publicly
one minute,
said,
hear me out, hear me
you
out.
Have
See, I have not interrupted
you
anyone.
You agree with the petitioners in this case.
Yeah, so you haven't even allowed me to finish. So here's the point. The petition in its intent is noble because it is drawing attention to the blatant violation of prioritization that the state government may have had in its mind. Mm. Number two, will it solve the problem? No, but we are a typical country where operation successful, patient dead. So we will perform the operation, the optics will be perfect. You will sacrifice a tournament because it's not important in the larger scheme of things, and it isn't.
Yeah.
But the fact is, and Alag mentioned this, Sunil mentioned this, we always do everything last minute. It's not as if we didn't know about the drought. It's not as if the media had ever covered it before the petition was lodged. So everyone reacts. We have become a reactive democracy which thrives on tokenism, because we believe tokenism is the lightning rod which will deliver certain value.
You're calling it tokenism, Sohail, but you're supporting it.
No, one minute. Please don't use words. I'm fairly conversant with English. I have not said tokenism or support.
Yeah.
I'm saying the intent of the petition is noble because it is focusing on the water issue that Maharashtra is reeling under. But will it solve the problem is a question that even the judges need to ask of the Bombay High Court, because I don't think it will solve the problem.
Okay.
So, you know, to quote John Maynard Keynes, in the long run, we are all dead. But in the short term, what are the tenable solutions that we will provide? It's easy to shut down things in this country.
But do you think
you have one protest and shut it down? Today, ML Khattar has renamed Gurgaon to Gurugram.
Huh? Yeah.
I beg your pardon?
Do you think the matches should be shifted
out? Of course.
Gurgaon to Gurugram is, of course, a different argument.
That's
equally
stupid.
It's also the politics of symbolism and tokenism.
It's part of the Republic of Tokenism, my dear. It's part of the Republic of Tokenism. Having said that, on a specific question that you asked, the matches to be shifted out is not my call. It's a call of the judiciaries, because the ball has now been lobbed brilliantly into their court. And the judiciary also, with due respect to the judiciary, also often goes with what the public
flow is. Okay, let me just get Bimal Soni in. Let me get Bimal Soni in, and then we go
serious
around
about
the panel
it, let's
again.
Get serious solutions in.
The fact is that the BCCI is a cash-rich body. There could be more magnanimity shown by the IPL at a time when it comes, you know, so many of the people who own teams position themselves as big corporate philanthropists. Why don't they show that moment of philanthropy now? Or, for example, the petitioner has made a suggestion saying that let the BCCI be charged for every little litter of water that it uses. Certainly for ordinary people listening to this, whether or not there's a causal effect, the fact that there has been such alacrity with which sewage water is being offered to be treated for the pitch certainly makes you wonder whether this alacrity is missing, you know, when you look at that one water train to Lathur. So couldn't the Board of Cricket Control also show some initiative, some social conscience here?
Barka, I have two pictures to say. First, with the August company, I would like to say that I am with the poor farmer. I know what the drought is happening. But as a cricketer, as a BCCI administrator, this petition is wrong. They should have brought this up about 2 weeks back or 3 weeks back. What happened when you had 6 World Cup matches in Nagpur about 3 weeks back? What happened when you had other cricket games going on in Maharashtra?
Yeah.
Why IPL? Just because it's a very popular tournament? I as a cricketer, as an administrator, would like to contribute, if I can do anything, for the drought and for the poor farmers. I would conduct festival matches, collect the money and give to the farmers.
But nobody's
but
done
this
that.
This one ground...
Nobody has done correct. That.
But
it's
what
only
saying
now,
is,
and to that extent, maybe we do have to thank the petitioners that they have put all of us under a certain degree of moral pressure, and maybe without these petitions...
It's compassion under compulsion.
It is what?
It's compassion under compulsion.
No, 1 minute.
It is compassion under compulsion.
I'm sure that if BCCI is asked, we can even have desalinating plants and take water from Bombay. But all this can happen is the work of the executive. Why should we go to the judiciary for all kinds of actions?
Quick response, and I want to go
as
to
one of my colleagues has
so
said.
So you're saying it's compassion under compulsion.
Mr. Shirodkar is right. I have only one view in this
please,
country.
Please,
you must be proactive. You must be proactive.
The government decides whatever you all say, whatever the masses say, but don't do cricket bashing.
Okay.
What about golf courses?
Yeah.
Let me tell you,
what about swimming pool parties? What about golf courses? What
Barkha,
about the showers?
The problem is,
1 minute.
And
what about the showers we take instead of bucket baths? We're all complicit in this hypocrisy.
Yes.
We're all complicit in this insensitivity. I think that's a fair point. But that is a fair point. Sohail, very quickly, then I want to go to Ketan and Yugendra. Yeah.
No, I just wanted to make a limited point.
Yeah.
The problem is that even our compassion is the result of blackmail or coercion. It is compassion under coercion. If the BCCI had proactively said this 6 months ago, I mean, they are pretty aware people. They have politicians on their board. So they know the drought problem, as Mr. Shirodkar rightly mentioned.
Yeah.
But we are never proactive. So what happens is you, at the threat of judicial recrimination, then offer stuff that you should have offered, and you would have won the public perception battle.
Yeah.
You've lost the battle. And you've lost the war.
I think that's a fair point that the BCCI, it does not exist in isolation. Some of our topmost politicians are associated with it. The IPL commissioner is Rajiv Shukla. Certainly, these are all people who know what the situation on the ground is. Just let me get the two petitioners in, then we'll come back to Shekhar and Sunil. Ketan, you've been called a headline hunter by Shekhar Gupta. There are people who are saying, were you sleeping when the other matches were happening? Why have you picked only on the IPL? Is it a soft target? Is it just that you want to be in the headlines? Why aren't you talking
much
about
sugarcane
instead
much,
of IPL?
Too much of a load for a private citizen to answer these questions, because we are not holding any government designation.
Yes.
If we had a ministry called PIL ministry, we would have filed this PIL in time.
Hmm.
See, the question is that during 2015, when we had Shahistan in Maharashtra, Bombay High Court was the institution which warned government against misuse of water and use of excess water.
Hmm.
Otherwise, they were going to ban the Shahi Snan.
Hmm.
Same year, we had 3,228 farmer suicide, the highest in India, in our state.
Hmm.
Since then till today, with so many of government machinery and so much of BCCI's working shoulder to shoulder with the government, they had no sensitivity at all to this situation which was prevailing in the state. And we are late, but we have at least approached the judiciary against the inactive state and absolutely insensitive BCCI. Is BCCI an independent of this Indian state of affairs? Are they functioning like Roman emperors who are not bothered about what is happening in the society when they are playing flute, when people are dying?
So you're saying
this is what
like
we are getting the message from the
Rome burns kind of okay.
BCCI
yes.
Why? Sunil, why would you say
50,000 children dying of malnutrition in
society? How do you blame BCCI for this?
He's blaming the executive. He's also blaming the political class.
Yes.
Enough of the political class represented in the BCCI.
I am with.
I am with
Sohail in saying that this thing of blackmailing the night before to stop a match when the matches have been going along, decided a long time ago. This could have been done before. Every movie that is being released, there will be somebody who will do it on Thursday and blackmail the release of the film.
Why are you calling it blackmail? Why are you calling it blackmail? Why do you not accept the word?
No.
Do you accept? Let's 1 minute. Let's separate the causal relationship between drought and IPL for a moment and talk about Yugendra's point of a certain vulgarity of this taking place.
No vulgarity. No sport is vulgarity. No sport is vulgarity.
I disagree with him completely.
No sport is vulgarity.
There is no vulgarity in IPL today. Everybody goes there to enjoy the game that everybody, and they actually get away from their worries of the day.
And
all the
other thing, if I may add, this whole idea that cricket is elitist, IPL is elitist, is completely misplaced. People who buy tickets are not rich people. Rich people in India get free passes, right? Rich people, if you buy tickets, that means your uncle is a nobody, right? So lots of people buy tickets. Lots of people. I can guarantee to you, lots of people in Latur are watching IPL. So
yes.
So that the connection is completely, if I may say so, completely.
Let Yugendra first come and then Samit as well.
Blackmail.
Okay.
You asked me a question
on blackmail.
I will say why. Blackmail is, if you know the problem, supposing the problem came up only yesterday.
10 days back in Bombay, semi-final took place.
One second. If you know the problem came up yesterday, it's not blackmail. You know there's a problem for months.
Let you get. That's blackmail.
If they had started on time and maybe that semi-final was shifted out of Wankhede to another city, maybe we would not have lost it. Yeah. We lost it on Wankhede acid pitch.
That's a different debate. But Yugendra, while it is, you know, while all of us are complicit, as I said, in hypocrisy to varying degrees, I do tend to agree that sensitivity has some place. Symbols are not irrelevant. In a democracy, symbols do stand for something. After all, we're having a whole national debate on symbols and slogans. So symbolism does count. Now, Yugendra Yadav, when Shekhar and Sunil say, no sport is vulgar, and IPL is cricket, do you want to reflect on your choice of the word vulgarity and explain it a bit?
IPL is not cricket.
IPL is not cricket, Sunil. Okay, we will come to that. But Yugendra,
let me say, IPL is a very, very special kind of cricket. Hmm. That's one way of putting it. It's not cricket in that sense. You know, this is a festival that we are
Every
into.
Every country has a league now.
I have a question for Shekhar. Shekhar knows more about cricket and more about
so
media
English
than
Premier
I
League
possibly
is vulgar,
can learn in this
in
life.
England, you can go on,
my question is
on.
Very simple. Shekhar, can I ask a question to Shekhar?
Sure.
I heard your strong words. I can't say that I disagree with you. But Shekhar, 6 months ago, this country began its drought. 30th of September, we knew there was drought. People like me, and I'm not the only one, have been crying hoarse for the last 6 months. We traveled through the country, through the drought-affected areas. We wrote letters to every chief minister. We did a survey. We went to Supreme Court. And we could not persuade our friends in the media to take this thing seriously.
Yeah.
It did not really. I mean, there were some exceptions. There were some very noble exceptions. But by and large, this country treated this drought as if it was taking place in Ethiopia.
Yeah. I agree.
And now, because of this IPL that you call headline hunting,
correct?
If the drought gets some attention, then tell me, what else should someone do? I have not done it. I'm still not for it. I want drought to be handled seriously. But do you expect me to grudge if after 6 months this drought gets any attention in this
country?
Okay,
Shekhar, quickly then some bit.
See, first of all, I think any targeting of sport, I'm a sport lover like crores of Indians, is criminal, because this country has too little sport. This country doesn't have too much sport, right?
But second, IPL, it could be said, is one grand party.
No,
sport.
Barkha, you compared it to the G20, that was India playing.
No, I have to put the thought out there. Huh. I have to put the thought out there, because the number of people who say, you compared it to the standoff in the T20. The T20 was India playing. This, it could be said, is about the confluence of
England plays football.
No, but there is a view.
Manchester United.
There is a view.
Let me counter that view.
Do this.
The simple view is that sport around the world, as countries grow mature and the countries grow more confident, nationalism reduces in sport its club loyalties. What is English Premier League? The same people who play against each other. We'll play in the national side. And the second thing is, there will be dry weather.
Barkha.
This is bad drought. But then some part of the country, there will be dry weather. In any case, pre-monsoon months are dry. So when do you play cricket in India? Do you play cricket in India in monsoon? Then you better build a stadium,
okay,
a covered stadium in
India. Last comment only, Samvit Patra.
Shekhar, I have nothing against cricket.
Can I please?
I have nothing against sports. Please tell me one way in which sensibly and seriously anyone can get attention
can
of
I just
this country
to
draw.
To that extent,
that judgment is on the media.
No, that point, that point is granted, but I think making sport to play for this is a very high
point. Can I please come in?
Samvit and then Sohail. Please, I'm going to start rapping. Samvit.
One question.
See, Varkha, I would not like to judge something which the judges are already judging. So I'll wait for tomorrow what the judges would say, and I believe all
frankly, I will go so far as to say judges are wasting judicial time.
Please, sir. Absolutely. Please,
okay,
sir. Please, let me come.
Can I say,
you all are senior people.
Wait for half a second and give you a chance. Samvit, please make your point.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yes, no problem.
Yes.
Samvit,
I'm sorry.
Please make your point.
All I was saying that IPL, no IPL would be a call taken by the court. Yeah, tomorrow we would come to know of it. The government has always, already in fact submitted its affidavit. But my take is when you say that the executive and the government is insensitive, I disagree completely.
Okay.
I'll give you, though I should not politicize the issue, but I would simply remind you of the fact as to what insensitivity is. When in 2013 the same situation was there and we had asked Ajit Pawar, the then minister, as to what he was doing, you remember what he had said, that should I urinate in the dam so that the dam is full. Over here we see a government which is sensitive. We have seen the train in fact arriving in Latur only today. This is an innovative measure. Number of other innovative measures like Jal Yukt Shivar has been taken up by the government. Let's not politicize the issue. And we all stand by the farmers.
Saurashtra always
has. But I do have to allow Ketan a quick interjection there, then I have to close. Ketan, go ahead, please.
I would just give two examples of insensitivity of the state and BCCI. Yesterday, we had British royal couple visiting Mumbai, Prince William and Kate. They refused the presidential suit in Taj and opted for a very basic suit because they said even those basic things in the basic suit are not visible to majority of the Indian population. One example. Secondly, when late Raj Singh Dungarpurkar ji was chief in the Indian cricket body, Mrs. Gandhi was assassinated, Sandeep Patil was batting against England, immediately the match was stopped as a tribute to Mrs. Gandhi. When executive is absolutely insensitive, political executives are insensitive, why judges have to use wisdom? Against BCCI and state of Maharashtra, Bombay High Court judge has to use wisdom. That duty we have entrusted you people. You cannot be independent of what is happening around you.
Okay, Sohail, quickly, got to close after that. Sohail.
I will just say, mark my words, whatever the judges decide in their wisdom, once IPL is targeted, not targeted, the real issues will again be forgotten because the media gaze will shift. It'll be like Alice in Wonderland. Our lessons will lessen from lesson to lesson. Mark my words, I'm not being cynical. This is the way our destiny is in our country. We pick up targets, we kind of brush them aside, and then we move on.
The
real problem never gets solved.
And the money collected should go to them. Don't stop IPL. That's all I'm saying. Get the money collected and spend it in the drought
areas. But I think there, Ketan had that point that the Board of Cricket Control has enough experienced politicians to have made this offer themselves.
But the politicians are giving government executive authority. They are waiting for the judiciary to tell them.
Okay.
That's not right.
If I may add something that
will please Yogendra and get me a bit of abuse. This is, this drought train is a very convenient headline train. Now, Yogendra's former colleagues in Delhi government are saying they will send water by train from Delhi to Latur. You know, why blame Mohammed bin Tughlaq? Anybody who gets power in Delhi becomes Tughlaq.
That is a whole different debate. But I will accept Yogendra Yadav's critique of the media, of all of us in the media, that it did take this kind of perhaps connecting two disparate classes of India for the media to actually focus attention in prime time on national media. And it does bring home the class disconnect, the parallel universes that class have defined. And to that extent, some would suggest, Shekhar and I may not agree on this, that the IPL does represent at one level that class difference.
It doesn't.
But
no,
so
doesn't.
Do we. Do I sitting here in the media.
Only IPL owners. Not the players, not the spectators.
Okay, this is a to-be-continued space. We will probably meet all of you tomorrow when there's a final verdict from the court. I will have to thank all of you here. Moving on now.
Reduce the size of the panel.
Moving on now. Coming up, Vishnu Shah, my colleague, interviews the U.S. Defense Secretary in a moment from now.
We've seen the phrase strategic relationship between India and the United States now for quite a few years. Someone who's personally invested a great deal in this process is the U.S. Secretary of Defense, who's over here in New Delhi, Mr. Ashton Carter. He's seen this relationship really grow over the years. But can it be a truly transformative strategic relationship? And if so, what exactly would that imply? Thank you very much, Secretary, for speaking to
us. Good to be here with you, Vishnu.
Third time in 1 year that you're over
yes.
here?
Yes.
And the fourth time, I believe, that you've met Mr. Parrikar.
Correct. He actually visited Washington, and we took a trip outside of Washington to a military base, which he reciprocated. We'll talk about that later.
Yep.
Yesterday with me to an Indian naval base. A great friend and obviously a very capable manager.
Now, when you were here way back in the 90s, there was no question of a strategic relationship per se between India and the U.S. What was the mindset then, and what is the mindset now?
Well, the mindset of both the United States and India was one that had been formed in the half century since Indian independence, in which India and the United States were basically stood apart in the world. We weren't in conflict with one another, but we weren't close friends either. And our economic and technological systems grew up separately. And we didn't have much to do with one another strategically. I think what we began to see in the 1990s, and certainly I believed in this, but many Americans did, and more over time, is that the United States and India are destined to be strategic partners. We're two, in many ways, similar countries, large democracies, multicultural, dedicated to freedom, dedicated to making our defense activities for the good of all and, exporting security rather than being a source of problems in the world. So we have a lot that's just similarly, in the broadest sense, culturally in common. Mm-hmm. And so we're convinced it's going to be one of the defining relationships of the 21st century.
We've had a civil nuclear deal that was considered a landmark nuclear deal.
Indeed.
One of the things that you're looking at very closely are the foundational agreements.
Mm-hmm.
Should those be signed, will we have another landmark moment?
Well, I think they're very important.
Is that the next step?
Yeah, I think we'll make some progress today on the logistics aspect, especially of that. I mean, I should say there's a lot we can do without these agreements, but there's more we can do with them.
Mm-hmm.
These are agreements that we have specifically made adjustments in to account for India, what India's own particular interests and inclinations. We're happy to do that. So I think over time they'll all be concluded. But I do want to emphasize there's a lot we can do without them, but there's much more we can do with them. And I do expect to make some progress on the logistics one.
But you don't expect to sign anything this time around, or is that your expectation?
I think we'll make significant progress on the logistics agreement while I'm here.
Right. There are Indian sensitivities, though, and it existed in the last government as well. There was a sense that the U.S. may be intrusive when it comes to agreements like on CISMOA, for example, and a few of the other ones, the Basic Exchange and Cooperation Agreement on geospatial issues. Is that something that you need to overcome over here? Is there still that reticence?
Well, yes. I mean, I think that, but I have to be fair and say there's reticence on both sides. I mean, I think we also need to be flexible, and we're trying to be flexible because we're both trying to overcome, as I said, 5 decades of being apart. So even if you have two strategic systems that want to mesh,
mm-hmm.
it takes work to make them mesh. And we want to do that in a way, obviously, that respects India's own independent strategic interests and also ours as well. And we can find that way. We've overcome so much of that past
right.
In recent years. I'm confident we'll be able to do that.
So by logistics agreement between India and the United States, it was called LSA, or the Logistics Support Agreement, earlier on. It's being rephrased somewhat as we go ahead now.
Well, it's a different agreement
yeah.
because we decided to change it in conversation with our Indian colleagues because they wanted some things that were different from ones we have with other countries around the world, which is perfectly understandable and reasonable. And in view of the importance we attach to the relationship with India, we're very willing to be mm-hmm. flexible, and we have been flexible. That's an important area, logistics. And as I said, I'm pretty confident we'll take a step forward in that today, and also in technology sharing.
Yep.
And also in some of our military-to-military activities.
Secretary, I'll just interrupt you because I want to ask you a little bit more about the logistics agreement. Should it actually come through, would it mean U.S. forces could be deployed on Indian bases?
With Indian permission under certain circumstances, what it really anticipates mostly is normal peacetime activities or a natural disaster, sometime when we're responding together. Obviously, we could only come here if invited by the Indian government. And this takes care of some of the machinery under that circumstance of how ships get supplied when they're in port and so forth. So it's a very nuts and bolts kind of thing. It simply reflects the fact that we expect to be working together more, our navies together, our air forces together, our armies together, and we want to have the ability to respond together to, let's say, a humanitarian disaster if our governments at that time decide to. This doesn't bind anybody to doing anything. Yes, absolutely.
Secretary, you were also speaking about naval cooperation briefly. India and the United States both believe in freedom of navigation. You have now got a massive strategic tilt to the Asia-Pacific region. Mm-hmm. That's one of your core policies. China is a concern, I don't know if you'd use that word necessarily, but in the South China Seas, their territorial expansion and claims in those areas are a source of concern for many. Do you believe the United States and India could jointly patrol the South China Seas?
Well, we're not looking at or really discussing joint patrols now. We're talking about a wide variety of other Navy-to-Navy activities. In fact, I was down with the head of our 7th Fleet mm-hmm. and your West Commander, mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to go aboard a really very impressive Indian aircraft carrier, which has a technology connection with us as well. And so we are talking about doing things together in the way of exercises of greater complexity, exercises involving third parties where we both want that, for example, as has been done with Japan. And with respect to your bigger question of, yes, the U.S. rebalances is central to our strategy because this part of the world is central to our future. Americans know that. And so we call that the rebalance. India has something called Act East. I've been talking about the handshake between mm-hmm. our rebalance and India's Prime Minister Modi's, whom I'll be seeing later today's Act East policy. And there's a strategic mesh there. But I should say the American approach, you mentioned China, is not about excluding anyone mm-hmm. or trying to isolate anyone, including China. Mm-hmm. The American policy in this whole region has always been an inclusive one. We have recognized that for the wonders that have occurred in India, but in other Asian countries where millions, hundreds of millions have been lifted out of poverty and great economic and political opportunity has been afforded to people, that all that human progress can't happen unless there's peace and stability.
Right.
So we're for peace and stability and a network of countries, all of the countries, working together to keep that peace and stability. There's no natural structure for that here. There's no NATO like there is in Europe.
Yeah.
And so we have to work together in a less formal way, but also strongly. But we're not out to exclude any. That's not the American approach.
But let me rephrase that question. Would you like Indian participation in the South China Seas for joint patrolling? Maybe not today, maybe in the future.
Well, I think most of what we've been talking about with India so far has been in the vast waters on either side of India already.
Yes.
Where we have operated together, where India has a very strong presence, very strong forces, very strong interests. I think India's made it clear its interests extend all the way around Southeast Asia and indeed up to East Asia, which is why its partnership with Japan has blossomed so much in recent years. Mm-hmm. We're not looking at any particular regional focus for our activities with India, and the most natural places where the Indian Navy is operating, for example, and our Navy is operating, is in the waters around India, where India plays a critical role for the whole world mm-hmm. in keeping freedom of navigation and naval stability.
There is a concern in India that while you engage us strategically, you also provide weaponry to Pakistan, F-16 fighters, Cobra advanced variants of that attack helicopter. And these are not really weapons which can be used only against terrorists, as is their stated intention. These would be weapons which would be used against India. Is that a bit of a challenge?
Well, we recognize that the tensions between India and Pakistan, but I have to say it's been many years since we have looked at our relationship with India in connection only to Pakistan. That's another part of the distant past to us. We look at India as, in its own terms, as I said, one of the defining relationships of the 21st century. And we don't make our India policy solely in respect of Pakistan, and nor do we make our Pakistan policy solely in respect of India. Pakistan, we have a relationship with. We have an interest there, principally counterterrorism interests, and we express that to the Pakistani government all the time, including our complete support for India or any other countries affected by terrorism. And so everything we do with Pakistan is in pursuit of that particular relationship, has a strong counterterrorism, because that's in our interest.
Sure.
To do so. But we don't look at India and Pakistan as two sides of the same coin, and that's in our distant strategic past.
But the weapons that you sell them would potentially be used against India, or could, including very advanced weapons. Block 50,
everything we do
example.
With Pakistan, we have conditioned on the notion that it's for counterterrorism, that that's the mission that we're supporting with that. We strongly believe in curbing terrorism originating in anywhere, but also on the territory of Pakistan. And we fully recognize that that has affected India in incidents that we deplore, and by the way, I should say the perpetrators of which should be brought to account. We mm-hmm. strongly support that as well.
Let's talk technology transfer. Mm-hmm. We have a huge initiative here, Make in India. We've got DTTI with the United States. How can those two work together?
They're a natural handshake, just as the Rebalance and Act East are a natural handshake. Prime Minister Modi's Make in India is a desire, which we perfectly understand and I support, to strengthen the already remarkably strong and innovative Indian technology sector. Secondly, to make sure that industrial arrangements and business arrangements are ones that foster innovation and also job creation in India. So how does that link up with the defense sector? We are working on the kinds of projects that are based on technology sharing, co-development of defense systems, and co-production. In the past, our entire relationship with India in defense systems was one where we would sell and India would buy. And what Make in India tells us, and our Defense Trade and Technology Initiative is all about, is we want something, and obviously India wants something that's deeper than that, that goes to technology sharing. I just met, by the way, with 10 tremendously innovative Indian companies who were telling me about technologies that they had developed. In some cases, they're already working with American companies. And we had officials there from our government and from the Indian government. And this is the wave of the future. It's one in which we our strategic interests are matched by an overlap of our technology sectors, and that's what DTTI is about. So it's we certainly think it makes good military sense, and obviously that's my job. But it also, in Prime Minister Modi's terms, makes Make in India sense too.
So in specific terms, aircraft carrier technology.
That's a big one. I was on one of your aircraft carriers yesterday, and we're working on technology for the next ones that India is building. Mm-hmm. Very impressive, by the way.
Jet engine technology?
Jet engines, absolutely.
What else are you potentially looking at?
There are
A line, possibly, of fighter jets in India.
Fighter aircraft. The helmets on fighter aircraft, which are today wonderfully high-tech. Items.
What about drones?
Yes, drones. I just had a briefing today from an Indian company that's working on drones that can go out and sniff for bombs and detect them and disarm bombs if they find them, something that very important kind of technology and something useful to both of our countries and both of our militaries. Other kinds of systems to protect us against chemical and biological attack, either in a military setting or another kind of setting. There are a whole host of, right down to torpedoes and missiles and artillery, more traditional military equipment. So from the traditional to the very high tech.
A last question to you, sir. In fact, you spoke briefly about terrorism and the need to bring the perpetrators of terrorism to justice. Mm-hmm. Just a follow-up to that, do you believe Pakistan is doing enough to bring the perpetrators of the Pathankot attack in India to justice?
I can't speak to that particular matter. We certainly want them brought to, as we want terrorists anywhere. To your general question, we want Pakistan to do more about terrorism. That's one of the pillars of our engagement with Pakistan. We're quite concerned about terrorism emanating there. We've had that experience ourselves with our own forces in Afghanistan. Obviously, India has had that experience. So, terrorism is one of the great scourges of the modern world, and so it's a centerpiece of our work with Pakistan to help the Pakistani government to rid itself of this kind of any of these kinds of groups and so forth, wherever they're oriented.
All right, well, Secretary Carter, it's going to be a busy day for you, a busy visit, and let's see where this relationship goes. As I mentioned, I started by saying you've invested so much in this over such a long period of time, and good luck to you,
sir. I'm confident it'll continue to grow. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir.